The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, random reptoid, or chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us, share your story, share your experience, because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghostbox Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghostbox Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken, and I'd like to thank you all for joining me tonight. Tonight's been a very busy night. We just got done recording an interview. We did a live interview on Things Network Supernatural Talk with hosts Jeremy and Nick and Adrian and Eileen. And I'd just like to thank them all very much for allowing me on tonight. It was a very good conversation. A lot of fun, kind of goes all over the place, but that's what some of these need to be when we're just having a good time. You can find that over on Things Network on Facebook. Please go check that out. I'd also like to say welcome to Adam tonight for joining me. It's good to have you with me tonight, Adam.
Nice to be in. As I've said, this is my favorite parts of the week until you throw haunted objects at me.
Well, we're not throwing them at you, but we are definitely going to have a conversation tonight. And before I introduce my guest, you know, tonight's a night talking about respecting energy.
Oh, absolutely.
And so this might sound strange to people, but I fully believe this, that as we are talking with David Sloan tonight about Robert the Doll, I also would like to just introduce myself to Robert. My name is Greg, and tonight I just want to say, first of all, hello, Robert. And that tonight I am doing an interview about you, and that I want to tell your story in a very respectful way, which is why we have David on tonight, because David has done so much research to you, Robert, that this is the best way to tell your story. And Adam, I'd like you to introduce yourself to him as well, please.
Hello, Robert. My name is Adam, and I come here with the utmost respect in talking about you and asking questions about you, learning more about you, and mostly just to show the respect that is deserved to you, Robert. And yes, I am nervous.
So tonight we have on author David Sloan, who I reached out to a couple weeks ago because I did want to talk about Robert the Doll. And David has a very unique perspective. He's been researching Robert for a very, very long time. He is working with the museum that currently holds him, doing haunted ghost tours and stuff. His site is ghostkeywest.com. Go check it out to see everything. He has written a number of books, one being Robert the Doll, Ghost of Key West, Haunted Key West. There is a lot to talk about here tonight. And I'd like to say, David, welcome to Ghostbox Radio.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here with you.
Thank you very much. And I'd like to invite everyone into the conversation tonight to do so. This is going to be a good night. If you have questions, you can put them into the chat. You can also call us in at 952-946-6205. Adam, do I have that number right? Because I can't see the number because I'm blocking it on the screen with myself.
Yes, it is 952-946-6205.
You'd think I would know this, but I clearly am not. So we're going to have a conversation tonight. If you have a question, call in. Call in, because this is a very unique experience to be talking about this. You may have seen Robert the Doll focused on a number of programs, but there's a lot of questions and a lot of history there. And, you know, one of the things that, David, I think that's important to talk about here is the fact of respect for whatever energy is with that doll. And why is that?
I think it's very important with Robert, because you're dealing with a lot of different levels of energy. I mean, you're really dealing with multiple entities there. And there, you know, the biggest, there's a lot of misinformation out there about Rob. A lot of the documentaries that are out there, they'll sacrifice the truth for a good story. And probably the worst legend out there is that you better ask permission from Robert to take a photo. And that evolved like all legends do, just because he was causing problems with so many battery operated devices. And this was during a time when cameras were the most common thing to fail. And so it was a human who said, well, he's messing with the cameras. Maybe he doesn't like his picture being taken. And then another human says, well, we better ask his permission. And then over the next 20 years, those stories snowball. And then it becomes, you better ask permission or you're going to die. But the fact is, it's very dangerous to ask permission from an entity, especially one like Robert.
Because you're inviting them in, basically.
You're inviting them in. And with Robert, most people don't have a clue what they're dealing with.
Right. Because it's – and do you think that – because watch – like, for example, I watched the Shock Docs documentary. And they say that the museum that he's held at gets thousands of letters of apologies for not asking for permission to take his picture. So there's stuff that's going wrong in their lives, and they believe that that's caused by Robert. How do you think that the majority of them are perhaps mistaken? I mean, I know that's kind of a hard question to answer, but I'm curious what your thoughts.
I think there's a mix. And the last count that I heard, he's up to about 10,000 letters. And you have to figure with some of them, you know, people are going to have bad things happen. And so there are a certain number of these letters where I'm pretty confident that Robert has nothing to do with the string of bad luck or the misfortune. Right. You know, I mean, so statistically, people are going to have some things happen. But where it gets really interesting is, I mean, I've been reading these letters for 25 years, and the number of people who have been struck by lightning, the number of people who have had a dead deer show up in their yard, you see certain things that happen again and again where you say, okay, yeah, that's just too much to be a coincidence. And you see a lot of these things where, and it's usually disrespect. And if you think about it, if people think they're supposed to ask permission for a photo and they don't, they're being disrespectful.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But it just always ties back to disrespect.
And it's interesting with like some of the people who said that once they wrote that letter of apology, things got better, like almost immediately. Do you think a lot of, I mean, it seems like to me that some of that is kind of psychosomatic, that it's coming, you know, it's like, I feel like I did what I needed to do. Now things are becoming much better.
I think there's definitely some of that happening, but I've also seen it where people have this terrible string of bad luck. And once they send the letter in or apologize, then things do really improve.
It's incredible. Do people read, like anyone who works at the museum or you, for example, do you ever read the letters to Robert?
Yes. Yes.
Do all of them get read to Robert?
Yeah, so me and the other doll tenders, that's what we call the people who work with Robert, we'll read them the letters every night when we come in for the tours. And then a lot of people, you know, we've had a lot of people who just kind of email us and they say, hey, can you please read this to Robert? And we'll do that too. Because I think it's very important for people and for Robert to hear these.
First of all, I commend you all for that, because it would be really unfortunate if like people are putting their hopes on something and it just kind of goes into a pile somewhere. So this is really good. This is really good news. When you read the letters, I don't know if you how much you're feeling energy and stuff. Does things get lighter in the room, or do you feel any change at all or anything?
You can feel it. It's different at different times. And I've experimented with different things. Sometimes I'll run a spirit box when I'm reading the letter, to see if we get any reactions and things like that. And it's very different. The energy at the fort is constantly changing, and I can be in Robert's room before we start a tour. And then by the time we get in there with the tour group, the energy in his room has completely changed. And then at the end of the night, it can be completely different again. And that happens throughout the fort. I mean, Robert's not the only one haunting there. There's dozens and dozens and dozens of spirits. It's an old Civil War fort, and it was used as a yellow fever hospital. So there's a lot of interesting energies working their way around.
Wow. I mean, I was going to ask that if there is more than Robert there. And I wonder too, like there's that case around Robert. That's more for the people that are visiting to keep their hands off him and stuff than any energy getting out, because he's not bound by that. You know, I mean, I know, like, with, for example, Annabelle, everyone says, well, it's in this case that's bound. I personally don't believe that sort of thing is possible. I think that it can, I personally believe energy can go wherever it really wants to. Mm-hmm. But I mean, with Robert, it's more of making sure that people aren't messing around with
him. He's 119 years old. I mean, you know, Robert's the original haunted doll. So he's very fragile, and he's also very valuable. You know, when I started researching him, he wasn't on display. It was just people in Key West who were talking about him and the things that had happened. You know, this is all pre-internet. But now, you know, since his story's gone worldwide, he's extremely valuable. And so the museum that owns him, it's the Key West Art and Historical Society. Mm-hmm. And they're the oldest nonprofit in Key West. So it's interesting because they're charged with taking care of him as an artifact. And they have to do that. They're well aware of all the paranormal side of things, but he's an artifact and he has to be protected first and foremost. And the letters that people send in, those become artifacts too and become part of the permanent collection. So they'll watch him from that aspect, and they know about him being haunted. But that's why we started working together. I've always been into the ghost side of things.
Right.
And this way we can nurture the paranormal side as well.
You both are leveraging your expertise, so to speak.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I just want to say, folks who are putting questions in right now, we will definitely get to them going into the next segment, because there's a lot of great questions coming in. But the one I do want to ask right now, because I do want to get into a little bit, you know, into the next segment, I want to get a little bit into Robert's past, because for those who may have heard of him but don't know it, I think it's important to talk about that. But one question I do want to ask was from Linda, because the way that we're talking, she's like, you're saying Robert is not a single entity. Would you be able, because we have about 3 minutes before we go to break, would you mind kind of expanding on that, please?
Yeah, so Robert is not a single entity. But I think his backstory is pretty important in leading up to that, because there are always a lot of legends about Robert the doll. And that's all we had to work with for a long time. You know, they said he was made by an angry nanny or an angry servant. And so there were these different theories. And what I've been able to do through my research is find out who some of these key players were in some of these legends, and then piece all of that together with what the truth was going on. And we're able to get the picture. And yeah, the multiple entities is definitely something going on there. But I think that's something better told a little bit after we get into the original story.
I agree. And, you know, why don't we do this, Adam, because we're close enough to break, and it'll give us more time to get deeper into this. I got a lot of questions here. Got a lot of other things to talk about. We want to talk about the origins. So why don't we take our break right now? When we come back, we will talk about what we know of the origin of Robert the Doll. We'll talk more about the entities, and we'll get to some of these questions. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950.
Have you ever wanted to see a real Masonic lodge or visit a beautiful hotel from the 1800s? Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken, Charvinity, bring you a weekend of paranormal investigations in Rush City, Minnesota. Starting Friday, September 22nd at the historic Grand House, and continuing into Saturday, September 23rd at the Jasper Masonic Lodge, we have a lot of options for you to join in on this event. Go to charvinity.com/event-list for full details.
Reach your highest level of consciousness and well-being with MetamorphosisConnections.com. MetamorphosisConnections.com is an online directory of the best holistic and metaphysical practitioners to help you make your most informed choices. You can search MetamorphosisConnections.com for classes, events, wellness and life coaches, plus metaphysical products and shops. You can also search for a wide array of healers from all modalities, including EFT, sound healing, energy healing, light therapy, ancestral healing, shamanic healing, reflexology, past life regressions, hypnotherapy, yoga, and more. And if you're not sure where to start, the search feature on metamorphosisconnections.com is tailored to help both those who know what they are looking for and those who are just starting. Come explore the possibilities for your higher self by visiting metamorphosisconnections.com. Their experienced practitioners can guide both beginners and those that are already on their spiritual journey. That's metamorphosisconnection.com, your link to direct you on your spiritual transformation.
And welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. My name is Greg Bach, and tonight we are talking about Robert the Doll that resides in Key West. We have on as our special guest tonight author David L. Sloan, who has written a book about Robert the Doll. He's also written other books, Ghosts of Key West, Haunted Key West. You can find out about the Robert the Doll experience, other ghost tours in the Key West area. Go to ghostkeywest.com. The books are available on Amazon. If you would be so kind, if you want to get the books, if you wouldn't mind thinking about going to ghostboxradio.com, I have a link there called Ghostbox Book Club, where I put all the authors who are on my show onto that page, and there are links to their books. If you get it through my site, we get a little money back. Please consider that. Otherwise, they're available at Amazon. Our links are Amazon as well. We are back talking about Robert the Doll, and we have a lot of questions coming in. But David, I think what you had talked about, what we wanted to do, is really kind of get to the backstory about Robert.
Yeah, and you know, when I moved to Key West in '96, I was starting a ghost tour, and I went to the artist house where Robert was, and the only information I found was about the ghost of Ann Otto. So when I knocked on the door and I told the owner there, I said, "Hey, I'm here to talk to you about your ghost." He said, "Oh, you want to hear about Robert?" I said, "No, I want to hear about Ann." He goes, "No, you want to hear about Robert." And he started telling me about this haunted doll. I thought the guy was crazy.
Wow.
I mean, this just wasn't the normal conversation. And then he says, "Do you want to see the attic where he lived?" And the phone, is pre-cell phone, the phone flew off the hook right at us. Extended all the way out. I look at it like, what's going on? He says, "Wow. Oh, that's usual." He said, "He's waiting for us." And then we start to go up the stairs. A bookcase door opens up and stops me from going up. When we finally get up to the top, we're in this creepy little attic. It looks like a little kid's party was about to unfold, a little kid's tea party. And the energy changed. And I felt like a metal rod in my spine. I thought I was going to be physically ill if I didn't get out of there. And I thanked him for his time. And I said, "Where is this doll now?" He said, "Oh, he's up at the Fort East Martello, but he's not on display. You'll have to call and ask to see him."
So I left. Just real fast, Adam is going to be probably sleeping with the lights on tonight. I just want you to know that you're probably...
I don't blame him. I don't blame him. I still do that sometimes.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's all good. So I went up to the museum. I called the museum a couple of times, and nobody there wanted to show the doll. They said, "Oh, call back tomorrow when this person's working." I finally got in there to see him, and the curator, she came walking out. She's cradling Robert like a baby, and she's talking to him. She's like, "Hey, Robert, this is David. He's starting a ghost tour. He wants to take some pictures of you." And I thought, these people in Key West are crazy. She sits him down on the chair. I start taking pictures. He looked like a regular doll. There was nothing to him.
Yeah.
And then I reached in to take his hat off his head. And I swear to you, that doll came alive. His eyes changed. His facial expression changed. He did not want me touching his hat. Wow. And I grabbed my camera. I snapped three photographs. The camera wouldn't take the pictures. I turn it around. It snapped the three in the wrong direction. I try to take it again. It wouldn't work. And then I swear I heard that doll laughing, and then that life force that was in him disappeared. And he just looked like a regular doll again. And that's when I said, "I've got to get to the bottom of this."
So it didn't scare you. It actually made you want to know more.
Get
into it. Yeah.
Yeah. I was, And nobody knew. Like we briefly touched on, people said it was created by an angry nanny who practiced voodoo. In fact, I was able to discover the doll was made by the Steiff Company in Germany. It's the same people who invented the teddy bear.
Mm-hmm.
And they made him in 1904. And if you think about it, the Otto family, you know, it was given as a gift to Jean Otto. Jean's grandfather had emigrated from Prussia, so they still had family in Germany. So it makes sense that they get a German doll. But this doll, very rare in size, they say he was probably made in someone's image, or he could have been a window display, you know, at like a big toy store to sell little versions of himself.
Sure.
But the little boy got the doll and became obsessed with him, gave him his own name, because the little boy's name was Robert Eugene Otto. He gave Robert to the doll, went by Gene the rest of his life. And he'd dress him up in his own clothes. The sailor suit that Robert wears today used to belong to little Eugene. When they made Robert, he was actually a clown.
Wow.
And whenever Gene got in trouble for things kids get in trouble for, he wouldn't take the blame. He'd say, "I didn't do it. Robert did it." Blaming the doll. There is a story saying that he used to push the servants into the closet. And when confronted with that, same thing. "I didn't do it. Robert did it." And this goes on through his childhood and then as well when he became older.
And that became a kind of a saying, right? Robert did it.
That became his catchphrase to a degree. So Gene goes off. He always wanted to be an artist.
Yeah.
And he went to Paris and studied under some of the great artists there. And that's where he met his wife, Anne.
Mm.
And they lived in Paris for a while. Then they were in New York for some time. And she's this brilliant pianist. When his mother died, they moved back to Key West and moved into his childhood home. And that's when the dynamic changed. And I don't think Anne saw it coming. But he was very jealous of her. You know, she was so good at the piano, and something about his hometown pride. He said, "Listen, you're not going to play your piano anymore. I'm going to be the artist. You're going to be the artist's wife."
Okay.
And I know there was a comment earlier about some abuse and from what I can tell, he was never physically abusive to Anne, but there was that mental abuse. They'd go to parties and he'd make her wait outside for 10 minutes before going in because she was just so beautiful and so talented and she'd steal the spotlight. So he didn't like that one bit. And so he pushed her into the closet. And when confronted with it, "I didn't do it. Robert did it."
Wow. Wow. So where I got confused from watching the program, and that's, I'm going to be perfectly honest, that's mostly my research for it.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like from like you said, the moment that Gene gets the Robert, he's obsessed with it. So to me, that means that there is some sort of spirit already attached to it. But it kind of, to me, was a little confusing that, like you had alluded to earlier, that some of the lore suggests that perhaps Nanny put something over the doll. But when it came into their house, it appears that there was something attached to it already, right?
I think there was that early attraction, you know, based on the stories that we hear. But then, you know, what type of documentation do we have from 1904, 1905? We get right. Several stories that are talking about this happening. But, you know, going back to the multiple entities, what I was able to find is that there is a nanny attached to the family. Okay. Mm-hmm. Her name is Emmeline Abbott. And she was a nanny to Eugene. Her husband was a servant to the Otto family. In the 1900 census, she shows no children. No children living, no children dead. 1910 census, she shows no children living, one child dead. So she lost a child in that same 10-year period that Robert the doll arrived.
Wow.
And the interesting thing about Gene, he came from a family of doctors. His father was a doctor. His grandfather was a doctor. So you better believe when Emmeline had a sick or dying child, that she went to the Otto family home
and
would have taken that child to Jean's father. And what I believe happened is that the child died in that first room of the house where he practiced medicine. But I don't think he was alone. I don't think the child was alone. I think that Robert the doll was in the room. And I believe this child's spirit entered Robert the doll. And it's been interesting because there have been some really good psychics who came there. Cindy Kaza was down there.
Yeah.
And she was so intuitive. You know, you see a lot of psychics who can pick up on some things, but I don't really think they're psychics. She knew things about this house that only someone who had spent thousands of hours in the library would be able to uncover.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that she picked up on, she said, the nanny lost her child, but then she blamed the doctor. So she sought out a voodoo practitioner to put a curse on the doll. So it's almost like it's got that innocent little child in there. But then what seems to happen out at the museum, when people disrespect the doll, you know, because you get people who go in there and they'll extend their middle finger, they'll stick out their tongue, they'll say some truly nasty things. And it's almost like you've got this child, but the child's 119 years old, so not completely a child. And it's like it has this sticky tar on its fingers. And when someone's disrespectful, it'll go up and it'll tag them, just wipe a little bit of tar on them. And then these other entities within this portal that opened up in the doll, they'll come out. And these psychics in the past talked about these 2 8-foot-tall creatures that circle the case. And those are the main ones. And so when you mess with a kid, they'll come out and they'll make your life an ever-living hell. They'll follow you home. They'll cause, the car accidents, all the bad things people talk about. And the only way to get them to leave you alone is to apologize. And that's why there are so many people that can be experiencing the curse of Robert at the same time, because it's not just one entity. They're all kind of sticking up for the child's spirit.
So much there. And you know, the thing too is, like, the way you talk about it is about the curses and how it affects people. You know, you could easily mistake it for lore because it sounds so fantastical. But the point is, you have proof. The museum has proof. And the proof is, even if they're not telling you directly, you have the proof in the letters.
Yeah.
And so, like, now when you talk about him, do you feel his energy around you? Do you feel like something, because we know that there's multiple energies there, but something that you'd be like, I think that's him.
I had some protections put up. When I was writing the book, I went through hell. We had a lot of problems with electricity, lights flickering, and then like strong bursts of electricity coming out of my fingertips. I'm talking not like a static shock. I'm talking enough to dislocate my shoulder almost. Then large objects on the street picking up and flying towards me. And then I was yanked out of bed. And I was freaked out, you know. And I used to think, hey, I'm Mr. Ghost Guy, I know everything. I was terrified. So I put out a plea on Facebook saying, hey, I'm dealing with something I can't handle and I desperately need help. And some local santeros, it's for a priest for the Santeria religion. He came over to the house and he walked around. And at first he said, hey, David, I'm just not getting anything. And when he got to the bedroom, he said, oh, there it is. He said, I can't deal with this on my own. And he brought 5 of his family members from Miami. And they didn't charge a thing for this. They did this to help. And they did a Misa Spiritual, where, since I was terrible at protecting myself, they kind of gave me a protector. But they removed these dozens of entities. And, you know, I had made the mistake of listening to the legends and asking permission. Hey, Robert, can I write this book? Robert, can I? And every time I was doing that, I was inviting a new entity in.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we are talking with David L. Sloan, author of Robert the Doll. We've been talking about Robert the Doll all night. If you would like to call in and ask a question, 952-946-6205. That's 952-946-6205. I'd like to go to our chat and ask a couple, have some of our questions come up, if you're fine with that, David.
Yeah.
We got, this one interests me because Adam was actually talking about this before the show started. Sarah asks, has Robert ever been CAT scanned? There were rumors that there's an object within the doll.
No, he's never been CAT scanned. And that was one of the theories for a long time before anybody knew that he was a Stife. You know, if he was a handmade doll, that was something that was believed that there could be. He's been examined and he's pretty much a Stife through and through. The reason they didn't realize that is because the Stife is identified by a little button in the ear. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of old dolls like this have had their ears torn off. His ear is not original. So that's why they didn't know. But no, after it was discovered that he was a Stife, they did not do any further exploration.
And taking a cue from Tom's question, because you already mentioned that you had tried to touch, you tried to take the hat off of Robert. Have you tried to hold him or anything since then? Have you done anything like that recently?
Yeah. I've held Robert. He doesn't come out of his case very often, but he's only traveled a handful of times. We used to do a talk around Halloween in Isla Mirada and he'd come up there. So I've carried him, from the car right into the theater. And, you know, I mean, I really try to nurture the child spirit with Robert. And it's interesting because I believe it's a little girl spirit. So a little Bahamian girl, daughter of Emmeline Abbott. So I try to nurture that spirit and not feed the negative entities that are there. When Robert has traveled, he went to a TAPS convention in Tampa once. Someone who disrespected him there got struck by lightning the next day. When he was brought to Isla Mirada one of the times, the person taking him back left him in their car overnight instead of going straight back to the museum. That night, their cat died. He has only flown once when he went out to Vegas to see Zach Baggins for Deadly Possessions. One of the people working with Zach touched him and then had a stroke. So bad things have happened when Robert traveled.
You have to respect that, don't you? You have to, you know, and it's just, it's interesting the people who, you know, and there's like in the shock docs, there's somebody who was in there that I know as a paranormal investigator. And she had said that, you know, she was a victim of the doll is what they were calling that. And I thought to myself, you know, maybe I'm being too simplistic, but when she admitted that she disrespected him, I thought to myself, you know, are you truly a paranormal investigator? Because to me, it seems like that's the first thing you would do is respect those energies and that entity itself.
Yeah.
Why don't we do this? Let's go ahead, take our next break. I have questions. There's more questions in the chat. There's a lot more to talk about here. We're going to do that. We're going to talk more about Robert the Doll with David L. Sloan. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950.
Have you ever wanted to see a real Masonic lodge or visit a beautiful hotel from the 1800s? Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken, Charvinity, bring you a weekend of paranormal investigations in Rush City, Minnesota. Starting Friday, September 22nd at the historic Grant House and continuing into Saturday, September 23rd at the Jasper Masonic Lodge, we have a lot of options for you to join in on this event. Go to charvinity.com/event-list for full details.
And join us tomorrow as we have Casual Friday, one of the favorite days of the week, where we're going to go through some paranormal news, listener feedback, question of the week as we ease into the weekend. And for those of you who are watching the stream, you're looking at this pixelized picture that I have on my art, and I'm going to explain in a news story tomorrow why that picture exists and why it's actually fairly laughable. So join me tomorrow as we just do our normal casual Friday. We're going to have our question of the week. We had a lot of people who took part in that. We're going to read those responses. It's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. We are talking with David L. Sloan, who is the author of Robert the Doll. He's also runs Ghost Key West. Go to ghostkeywest.com and see all the tours that they're offering, as well as all the information. You can also order the book through Amazon or go through Ghostbox Radio and go to the link, Ghostbox Book Club, and order it through that. So we have been talking about Robert the Doll, some very eye-opening stuff that is being said here. And it's a very good reminder to people about respect, and not just even about Robert the Doll, but respect anywhere you go. I mean, obviously, that's the grand design is always respect. But when you're doing paranormal, respect is very much a big part of it. The question that kind of what's in the chat, a couple people had asked, was there ever any thought to try to remove the spirits from the doll?
There's people who try. You know, people at different levels. I noticed there was a comment asking if he has any reactions to clergy. I've had priests come in and rent the fort out to do their own ghost hunts, and mm-hmm. there's been no reaction to that. Now, it's interesting because in other parts of the fort, we've had close to 100 people burned with their crosses. So there are those types of reactions. But around Robert, I've never seen any reaction like that. And then you get people who come in. I mean, because obviously Robert attracts a lot of people who are spiritual on different levels, who are into ghosts on different levels. And so people do try to move his spirit on, without doubt. Mm-hmm. None of it's ever, you know, official through the museum or anything like that. But a lot of people try to do that, and I don't think they've met with much success. One of the things Cindy Kaza was saying when she was there was that the way the portal's set up is not one that can be closed.
That's interesting. And, you know, I personally never really thought about basically a traveling portal is what this is, because, I mean, now Robert is pretty much in one spot, but, you know, he hasn't always been that way. I also wanted to quickly say, you know, when you brought up the child spirit, you know, watching the program, the one thing that I had thought about when it looked like that Robert the Doll would get jealous with either Jean or the young lady in the 70s who was putting the other stuffed animals into the rocking chair and put Robert to the side. To me, that immediately felt like to your point, that was a child spirit of some kind, because that just seemed like, you know, we're supposed to be best friends. Who are these other, and you know, other stuffed animals, basically? I mean, am I kind of on the right track with that?
Yeah. And so after Gene Otto died, you know, he was the boy who had the doll, and then mm-hmm. He died when he was 74. So he had Robert for a long time. They say he spent his last 10 years up in the turret room at the house there, kind of losing his mind, and that he was locked in that room with Robert the doll. And then Myrtle Reuter bought the house. Mm-hmm. And she became Robert's new mommy. And I talked to her family, and they said that, I mean, she treated that doll like it was a child. She really felt there was a child there. And it changed her. So when Robert was donated to the museum, he has a little lion with him, Leo the lion.
Yeah, yeah.
That sits in his lap. That was donated by Myrtle. The donation form says that belonged to Gene, but it's something from the 70s. But you can see, though, it's like, yeah, they're a toy that has its own toy. They're definitely treating it like a child. And I think somebody asked about it being separated from Leo. Robert doesn't like drunks. There were some drunk people on the tour one night, and they were mouthing off to him. He threw his stuffed lion at them.
Incredible.
So these kind of things happen.
Gosh, there's some really good questions coming in. And I know, Sarah, you've been asking a lot of great questions, but I want to get around to some other folks who have a chance to ask, and I'll get to some of yours again if I can. Danielle had asked, do you think Gene may be attached to Robert now? I think that's a fantastic question.
Yeah, I think he is without doubt. You know, his spirit's definitely not welcome at his home. He always wanted his home turned into a museum to him, but I think his wife's made it very clear that he's not welcome there. And we do pick up on his presence around the fort. Something interesting the other night, somebody got a very interesting EVP where at the end of it, it said, bonjour. So I'm thinking, okay, where's the French coming from? And of course, Gene spent, 10 or 15 years over in France.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean that's him, but that was the first thing that came to mind. And I do think that they're still very close to each other.
I mean, it just seemed like, yeah. And also when those last 10 years, as well as when Gene would have Robert in the turret room when he was doing his work, the stories of children and people walking by, and that they started to avoid the street, right? Because they actually saw both Gene working on a painting, but Robert moving, right?
Yep, they'd see Robert moving on his own. So they'd cross the street. Or I still talk to some people who say, oh, I wouldn't walk by that house.
Right. Jeremy asks, because I think the story, whoops, I don't want that one up yet. I think the story of Robert is this, can a living person become attached to Robert? And I think that's exactly what has happened, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of living people become attached to Robert. You know, some people develop an attachment to Robert that I don't think is extremely healthy. But it's interesting, you know, because a lot of people, they'll see Robert as this evil thing. But then I've noticed children, especially children with autism, they'll pick up on the child spirit in Robert right away. And they'll go up and they'll say, hey, I love you, Robert. I want to be your friend, Robert.
Yeah. I mean, you're attached to Robert.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, I'm assuming you're looking at that as more on the sane end of the spectrum there.
No, I think it's been insane over the last 26 years. I've had two terrifying incidents that I don't think anybody would describe as sane. You know, the one with the getting yanked out of bed, and then the other one happened just about a year ago when I was traveling, and I tell you. Everything that could possibly go wrong was going wrong. And I don't mean one thing or two things. I'm talking 20 or 30 or 40 things. And when I finally decided to abort the trip and cut it short and head home, as soon as I did that, it was almost like I fell into a deep sleep. And then I was pretty certain I was having a heart attack. And as I came up, something rolled out of me. It was one of the spirits with Robert, and somehow it had ended up on the road with me. And as soon as that was gone, the bad luck streak stopped. And it was all tied to me going back to where the doll was. And I still don't know. I haven't really had time to make sense of all of that still.
Do you think that your attachment to Robert started before you came to Key West and before you came to the house? I know you didn't hear about, you didn't know what that doll was, but I mean, something, I mean, you were lured out there.
I sometimes wonder, you know, and I used to think that kind of like one of my purposes in life was to really get the truth out there about the doll. But then after we started doing tours with the fort, I discovered that my great, great, great grandfather, he was with the Pennsylvania 47th. The fort was built by Union soldiers. And I found out that that he helped build the fort. So I almost think it was like Robert was actually introducing me to that part of my past.
We got to wonder. I mean, you're not 119 years old. Okay, let's we'll put that. We'll take that out of the way right now.
Right.
Do you think there is some kind of past life thing going on here, perhaps?
Could be. Could be. I'd never say no to that.
How interesting. Now, Tom, I think, has a good question, because we're talking about the curses and stuff. But has Robert brought good luck to anybody who maybe have asked or just in general?
Yeah. Yeah, and those people are in the minority, because, you know, not as many people are going in there asking for these good things. But I know several people who have said, hey, I went in there and asked them for blessings, and, you know, they'll talk about great things happening. So it does go in both directions.
All right, something just happened over here. And I'm just trying to kind of recreate it here, because I don't understand. My shirt tail here, or, you know, on my shirt, it just flipped by itself. And I was just trying to recreate it to see if I moved or something. I know I moved, but this thing just flipped right over, and I don't know what that is. So I'm not trying to turn it into something, but I, you know, when something is really unnatural, you notice. So I'm just curious about that. So we're just going to leave that at that for the moment. Let's see here. Let's go take a look at any other questions here in the chat. That kind of surprised me a little bit, I'm not going to lie. So, I mean, this is, it's really, it's such an interesting story here. There's so many layers to this. And what I really find that's very interesting is the seduction that Robert brings to people. And I think it, you know, and I think it's actually even bigger than like we're talking about with you, which is more of a, if you will, more of an intimate one. But I mean, all of us who are interested by it, you know, it says that there's what, how many people come and visit Robert every year?
Yeah. I mean, some days he'll get 100 visitors. So he's definitely, I mean, Key West is pretty nice too, but a lot of people go to Key West just to see Robert the Doll. You know, and it's interesting because, of course, paranormal tourism is a huge thing, and there's ghost tours in just about every city you go to. And there's a lot of things like this. I think what's very unique about Robert is he's very tangible. So it's not like going here and you might see Robert. You know that you're going to see at least the shell of the doll. And a lot of people go through there, and then they actually encounter the spirit or one of the spirits attached to him as well. So it's very unique with that. You know, he's without doubt the world's most haunted doll. You know, Annabelle has had the movies made about her. But when you look at the number of people who report being cursed by Annabelle versus Robert, there's a lot more with Robert, and Annabelle's not very accessible right now. You know, some people do get to see her, but that's rare. So Robert really is one of a kind.
Absolutely. And the thing is I feel like that there's a lot more people who have documented seeing Robert move than Annabelle. And I know it's not meant to be a competition, but right. it is something that is worth noting as well, that there is a lot of, you know, people who don't know these other people, that, you know, there's decades apart between these moments, that they're all seeing things that is, you know, that's similar. I mean, that's pretty important. So with that, I'm just kind of seeing if there's any questions that I have missed on here, because this is really interesting. And I'm just seeing someone had asked, and I want to ask this question. Do you think over time that Robert has become more powerful?
Yes and no. You know, obviously his energy feeds off of other people. One thing that I did find, his energy used to be a lot more powerful at the Artist House, which is the house where he grew up. And it's this beautiful bed and breakfast right now. And his energy was more powerful there but that's when he was still locked up in the back of the museum. He wasn't on display. As soon as he came out on display, you felt a noticeable shift in powers. And the entities at the Artist House started being much more the feminine presence, which would be Ann Otto and Jean's mother, Minnie. And then the other, that's when all the battery things started happening at the fort. And, you know, the cats were acting strange. Pacemakers were failing. They put up warnings for a little bit about pacemakers around them when the things first started going crazy. So, yeah, there was that shift. And now, yeah, the more people that come to see him, the more powerful.
I wondered about that. And there was a question about that in there as well. You know, as we end this interview, as we end this program, I do want to say, first of all, good night to Robert. Thank you very much. Adam, I don't know if you'd like to do the same.
Good night, and thank you for letting us talk about you this evening, and hope you have a good night, Robert.
And, you know, I think, David, if you're good with this, I'd love to have you back on and continue this conversation. There's so much that I know that we haven't talked about yet, and
yeah,
I think
yeah.
that there's more to get into.
I would love that.
That's great. David L. Sloan is the author of Robert the Doll. You can go to ghostkeywest.com. There you can see all the stuff that is going down in Key West, including the ghost tours, the tour, spending time with Robert the Doll himself. There's a lot there. Please go check it out. And his books are available on Amazon. David L. Sloan, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Thank you both so much.
Thank you. We'll be back tomorrow with Casual Friday. Everyone have a good evening. Take care and good night.